Your Money Briefing. Money and Market Stories from the Wall Street Journal.
I'm J.R. Whalen in New York. Stress tests administered by the Federal Reserve can tell a lot about a bank's liquidity in times of crisis. We'll explain in a moment why those tests are likely to undergo significant changes. First, these money headlines. Americans view the economy with some of the highest levels of optimism in years, but their rosy outlook has dimmed as they look to the future. The director of economic indicators at the Conference Board says the pullback in optimism suggests that consumers do not foresee the economy gaining much momentum in the months ahead. Confidence soared starting in late 2016, but stocks have wobbled this year after rising sharply in 2017. Plus, signs of softening economic growth have appeared in Europe and Asia, and interest rates and gasoline prices have risen in the U.S. Those are developments that could hinder consumer spending. And new research suggests that women frequently underestimate the time, money, and effort it takes to raise children and have a career at the same time, leading many to invest in their skills and then reluctantly leave the workforce when the true costs of being a working mother become apparent. Since around 1990, the study found that about 2% of 18-year-old women who participated in a University of Michigan survey of young Americans' attitudes and values said they expect to be stay-at-home mothers by the age of 30. Yet 15% to 18% of American women become homemakers by age 30, suggesting that many expected to combine work and motherhood and then reversed course. This is your Money Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
This podcast is sponsored by Intel. Not that you would push your computer to new limits, but you could with the 8th Gen Intel Core Processor with Intel Optane Memory. And when I say push, I'm not just talking about opening Photoshop. I'm talking about opening Photoshop and Illustrator and every application on your computer, at the same time, just for fun. New computers powered by the 8th Gen Intel Core Processor with Intel Optane Memory are now faster and more responsive, which means you can open, load, and launch like never before. Learn more at intel.com/you could.
Welcome back, everybody. Since the recession, one of the more closely watched days on the calendar has been the day when results of bank stress tests are released by the Federal Reserve. Wall Street Journal financial regulation reporter Ryan Tracy joins us to explain why those stress tests could soon be a relic of the past. So, Ryan, the latest batch of test results are released on June 28th. Could you just briefly explain what the stress tests are and what they measure?
The stress tests were invented after the recession as a way of examining whether banks could go through a significant downturn in the economy and continue lending, continue doing what banks do without requiring some sort of taxpayer bailout. The tests have become more and more important as they've become more and more central to the way that the Federal Reserve examined banks. So each year the Fed will reveal these results looking at how banks perform under a hypothetical scenario. And based on those results, the banks pass or fail the tests, and failures can have some negative consequences for the banks. And so for bank investors and for just regular old citizens who care about this stuff, this can be a very important day.
And for the banks, for the most part, they have fared pretty well in these tests, with a couple of exceptions.
Yeah, usually there's about 30 and 40 banks taking them every year. These are mostly the largest banks in the United States. And generally, the vast majority of them pass, with a couple of exceptions. And that reflects two things. For one, that after the recession, banks have really built up their capital levels. So when they go through this hypothetical doomsday scenario, they do better than they maybe would have in 2007. Also, it reflects the fact that they've done a better job, in the Fed's view, of improving the way that they manage their risk, of improving the way that they prepare for the worst.
And under these new processes that the Fed is proposing, it would put a focus on the bank's capital levels and really do its measurements from there.
Right. So what we're looking forward to as the tests move forward is really a change in the form of the grades that the Fed issues every year. The Fed has used these tests as a stick. When Citigroup failed in 2014, it was a huge deal for that bank. The CEO's job was on the line, and it was a message from the Fed that it was unhappy with the way Citigroup was being run and wanted to see, and the pace at which Citigroup was making improvements that the Fed thought the bank needed to make. The Fed's now at a place where we're not seeing failures like that as often, and the Fed is kind of feeling like it doesn't need this stick as much as it used to. So the Fed's rolling out some changes that rather than passing a bank each year or failing a bank each year and having that headline that grabs the attention of the CEO, instead they're going to release just the numerical results of the test, that those results indicate where a bank capital was. And that's still going to be very important, don't get me wrong, but it's going to be a different world than a bank failing the test.
And so, just to be clear, as these tests go forward, the results, some of which will be private and some will be public, is that right?
Yeah, so just getting into the weeds a little bit so people can understand why we think this, why we see this change coming. There are two main aspects of the stress test. There are the quantitative results and the qualitative, more subjective ones. The quantitative results will show you a bank's capital level was at a certain percentage after going through this this tough hypothetical recession. And the Fed wants to see that the bank's capital levels are at a certain minimum to ensure that they can stay open. The qualitative results are more subjective. They deal with things like, you know, did the bank's board of directors do a good job questioning management to make sure that the managers of the bank are taking into account the risks that they face? They deal with things like internal data. Is the bank able to quickly calculate its exposure to, say, a firm like Lehman Brothers in a couple minutes? The Fed thinks the bank should be able to do that because if Lehman was in trouble, the bank needs to know how much money it was going to lose. So, and a lot of banks weren't able to do that in 2008. So the qualitative part of the test is the one that's going to go private. That's the one that the Fed has decided, you know what, we don't need to fail a bank based purely on these qualitative reasons. We think the banks are doing a better job, and so we're going to take that away from the test. The Fed hasn't formally proposed that, but they've made it very clear that's going to happen over the next couple years. And on the quantitative side, the Fed has proposed that it would no longer fail banks purely for going below a certain capital level. Instead, what they would do is tell the bank, you know what, you're going to need to raise more capital over the next year. And, you know, that's going to be important for banks. That's going to affect the dividends they pay to their shareholders. That's going to affect the buybacks that they are able to do in terms of returning profits to shareholders that way. So that's going to be really important, and the stress tests are still going to matter. But this kind of pass-fail conversation is going to be replaced with a number.
All right. That is Wall Street Journal reporter Ryan Tracy joining us from our bureau in Washington. Ryan, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.